Hi, I'm Coach Tom Newell. Welcome to Family Sports Life Today. We're bringing together parents and coaches and athletes to talk about having a better sports experience, better family connections, and a better sports life for our kids.
And I'm Jay Arnold. Whether we're talking about elementary, middle school, or high school sports, whether you are an experienced coach or just getting involved for the first time with your kids' team, Family Sports Life Today is the place to talk sports and learn.
All right. Well, in this segment, we've got a wonderful guest with us today, Jay, and I've had the distinct pleasure of meeting Daniel John, former University of Washington strength and conditioning coach. 2 years ago, I believe, I met him through Brett Brungard, who is currently the men's and women's basketball strength and conditioning coach, former NBA strength and conditioning coach. And I feel very fortunate that Daniel, who is a co-director at End Zone Athletics in Kirkland, has been able to take a time from his Mr. Mom duties here this morning and talk to us about what he represents in helping young people develop their and enhance their athletic skills. Am I right in my description of it? You're a former University of Washington strength conditioning coach, and you're working with student athletes on campus, and now you are part of a program as a co-director with the End Zone Athletics organization in Kirkland, Washington?
I am. I was a baseball player at the University of Washington from 1997 until 2000. When I actually got injured, it ended my career a little early. I was medically disqualified, and as soon as I was injured, actually, I was hired as a coach, both on the baseball field and then as an intern in the weight room. The next year, I was hired on a part-time basis, and then the following year on a full-time basis. So I coached at the University of Washington in the weight room from 2000 until 2006. And my primary sports were football, baseball, volleyball, softball, swimming, and I worked a little bit with basketball early in 2001 and 2001, and soccer as well.
Wow, so you've had quite a number of cross-gender student-athletes under your tutelage. That's great.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Tell us about End Zone Athletics in Kirkland, Washington, DJ. Where are you located, and give us kind of a background on the history of End Zone Athletics.
Well, End Zone Athletics was actually opened by my partner, Joel Jameson, about 3.5 years ago. I actually met Joel in the University of Washington weight room. We both interned under the same strength and conditioning coach. We were actually real lucky to have been mentored by some real quality strength coaches who are nationally recognized, and they're real good. And so I stayed at the U, and Joel went on and opened his own business, End Zone Athletics. And I came over in June of 2006. Which is when we started a lot of our programs together, started working together. And it's End Zone Athletics is an athletic development facility where we do everything from, you know, speed training to strength training to flexibility and core strength and power development. You know, we kind of pride ourselves on the educational side of things here. We really like working with athletes who intend on moving on and playing in college. You know, we like to give we like to completely prepare kids. You know, we like to give them everything that they would need to know and everything that they would need to do to prepare to play at the college level. And I just use, you know, my experience at the college level to let them know and to give them the things that they would need to prepare. And we're like you said, we're located in Kirkland. Our address is actually 423 6th Street South. It's right in between 70th and 85th.
Okay.
Right there on 6th, near downtown Kirkland. So.
All right. Well, we'll include that on our website, and also we'll link your website to ours.
Right.
DJ, let's back up a little bit. When you mentioned that you take the athlete and you develop, you know, their core strength, and you prepare them for college athletics and what have you when they're in that, perhaps that late middle school and high school area of development. Do you also work with parents and educating them on the process of the disciplines that you're introducing and enhancing the athletic skills their sons and daughters.
Oh, yeah, we absolutely do. And a large proportion of that comes from just questions that parents, individual questions that parents have about what we do or what do we eat or how do I, you know, how do we prevent injuries? You know, how is my son or daughter strong enough to move on? What's the next step? What is, you know, so a lot of those just come from individual questions, but we really enjoy that part of what we do. You know, we really feel that this is, like I said, an educational facility, and we consider ourselves coaches and teachers, not just trainers. So anytime that parents have questions, individual questions regarding their son or daughter's future in their sport, then we love to sit down and talk with them.
That's a really important point you make, and it really kind of segues into a question that I had, is that oftentimes parents will sign their kids up to train at a, you know, well-known facilities. I'm not going to mention by name because I don't want to misrepresent them, but could you tell us a little bit about the protocols, you know, for different biomechanics that are related to respective sports in basketball, baseball, football, track and field, gymnastics, swimming, etc.? Because there are different protocols for strength training. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And I mean, each sport has different needs, right? And so we focus on the sport specific needs of the athletes. So we're not going to train, I think this is what you're getting at, but we're not going to train a swimmer the way we would train a basketball player, for example. They have different needs, right? So mm-hmm. We base all of our training on the physiological principles of the sport. And so I think that one, you know, I was lucky again in that I had a lot of experience at the college level. We have another strength coach here, Casey Scherfy, who was a strength coach at the University of Washington with me, who also got the chance to work with a bunch of a large variety of sports at the U. And so we have kind of some knowledge about the needs and the demands of each sport. And like you said, you know, each one is slightly different. So the basis of training is going to be slightly different. Now, regardless, each, you know, every athlete has a basis, you know, a basic need, a fundamental, some fundamental principles. They need to be balance. They need to be able to maintain the correct postural positions with regards to their sport. For example, if I'm a volleyball player and I can't flex at the hip and flex at the knee and keep my chest up in a defensive, ready defensive position, if I get tired and my back starts to round and my knees start to cave in, then I'm just putting myself more and more of a position to become injured, and I'm not giving myself the maximum amount, or I'm not allowing myself the maximum amount of energy that I would need to perform the duties on the court. Okay, so what we do is we basically try to complement the root of their sports specific movement and develop those strengths. Okay. So they're allowed, so which allows them to enhance their sports specific skill. Right. So any trainer or strength coach who says, I'm going to do specific training which will develop their skills on the court or on the field, is really not telling the truth. What we do is we complement the root of those sports-specific movements, right? They have to have the strength, the balance, the stability, the efficiency to move in a explosive manner in the movements that they need to be proficient at in their particular sport. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, DJ, at what age do you start working with kids?
The youngest kid we have here is 10. You know, what we encourage, though, is that kids are involved in multiple sports activities, you know, and I think that once a kid gets to be about 13, 12 or 13, and you can start to think of, you know, you can really kind of assess their ability and their motor abilities and see, okay, is my kid at risk for any kind of injury? Are there any, you know, weaknesses that are standing out when they play their particular sport? And so generally by 12 or 13, you know, we can start to do some things with kids. But, you know, up until then, we just really encourage kids to play in multiple, you know, be involved in multiple activities and sports and whatnot. And then once they get a little bit older, you know, then we start introducing these things. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, young kids can't, you know, participate in athletic development, you know, but we kind of encourage just a multiple sport environment and until they get to about middle school, and then we kind of we tend to really focus, and we can do a lot more with them. So 12 to 13 is generally when we suggest it.
All right, well, let me ask you this. I got a question. You brought up you encourage multiple sports participation. I also agree with that, but I also see a danger that's evolved out of that, and maybe you can touch on it, DJ, and that is the crossover recovery time from one activity to another. I remember 10 years ago, a young person coming from soccer outdoors for two-hour practice and then coming into the basketball gym for another hour and a half practice and just waxed, you know, just wiped out. I mean, what you tell me, what are your thoughts on multiple sports and you know, jumping in from one activity to another the same day?
Right. You know, to tell you the truth, I think that question is actually a little bit more individually based, because some kids can do it. Some kids can go from sport to sport.
They got a motor that can do that, huh?
Got a motor that can do that, and okay. They don't get burnt out, and they don't overtrain. Now, if they can and they enjoy it and they are still refreshed and they, you know, and that coaches and parents don't see any signs of overtraining, then I would say, you know, hey, that's okay. But there's also a large percentage of kids who can't and who do need that recovery time. And recovery, you know, just from the standpoint of a strength coach, we always preach that, you know, recovery is as important as work. So if a kid is not getting properly recovered, they're really not going to be efficient the next day or the next time they work out, you know. And so definitely I would agree with you in that if a kid is not ready to move on, I mean, if they're going, you know, I know these days sports are overlapping and, you know, basketball gets done and baseball started before basketball was even done, so they go right to, you know, I was a multiple sport athlete, that's kind of how it was, and so it can be difficult. I definitely agree with you, it can be difficult. So if I would encourage parents and coaches to pay attention to the signs of stress and overtraining and exhaustion, and if their kids are, you know, if they're not having fun, or if they, you know, if they're starting to feel like maybe this is a little too much, then hey, it's fine to back off.
Okay. Good.
So, DJ, why don't you take us through a typical first contact meeting with you?
Give an example. I'm a parent, and I have a 6'8 son. I'm just giving you a hypothetical question here. I'm a parent. I come to you, and I go, I'm a parent. I have a 6'8 son who works hard but can't put weight on. I'm afraid he'll break his back lifting weights. What do you do to help me understand what you and your program can do to help him enhance his athletic development?
Right. Well, the first thing that we do is that we always bring our kids and parents in for an assessment. So we bring them in and we run them through. We talk to them and we talk to them about what they want. I always want to know, you know, what does this kid want? You know, what is he in it for? What does he want from his future playing basketball? You know, and so if the kid really is serious and the kid wants to move on and he really enjoys playing, then what we do is that we tell them, okay, that's great. Here are the things that in experience have helped, you know, kids and athletes have success. Here are the things that at the college level you are going to need. Okay, so we talk to them about those things so they have an understanding of what we are about, right? So then we take them through kind of a physical assessment. So we take them through a variety of movements that can tell us as strength coaches where this kid is and where their base conditioning level is and what kind of basic physical ability that they have. So we don't ever bring a kid in and just throw a bar on his or her back and expect them to max out or something like that. You know, it's always got to be safety first, you know, and so there is a physiological progression to strength and power development, and then there's also one that just, hey, makes sense, right? I'm not going to do something. I mean, it's really, it's similar in all activities, all sports. I'm not going to jump up to the fifth stair if I'm not ready to go to the first stair.
Right, right.
You know, so we sit down, and a lot of times we'll talk to the parents, about, you know, the movements that their kids may be making. So hopefully the parent can come in and see the assessment that's going on, and then we can say, okay, you know, yeah, your kid, his heels are coming off the ground as he does a body weight squat and his back is rounding a little bit, you know, so this just tells me that he can't maintain those correct postural positions for an extended period of time. So that's maybe good. Down the line, he may, you know, be putting himself in a position to get hurt. So here's some of the things that we would do to correct that.
That's terrific.
And so on and so forth.
Yeah, that what that says is that you really take the person, individually, and you assess, you know, the first impression, exactly what he or she can do.
DJ, what would the scenario be like if I had a daughter that played volleyball?
The scenario is exactly the same. The only difference is that a volleyball player has slightly different sport-specific needs than a basketball player. So the physical assessment may be different. But I'm still going to bring her in. I'm going to sit her down, and I'm going to say, you talk to her and the parent, and say, hey, you know, what are you looking for out of this? What do you want? What is your future? What do you see your future in the sport of volleyball, right? So the questions are the same, but then the physical assessment is slightly different because they have slightly different sport-specific needs.
Okay. Do you work individually or in a team core environment?
We do both. We do private individual sessions, but primarily we do sport-specific classes and small group training.
How small are they?
Generally, our class, you know, they can be anywhere from, our classes can be anywhere from 2 or 3 up to 10 or 11.
Okay.
Generally, we don't have any more than 10 or 11.
Okay. That's good, because I like that that team environment. I like, you know, models to follow. I think that really helps.
Yeah.
It encourages the kids to understand what it is to be able to be positive with somebody. And they may not even go to the same school, right?
Right.
You know, kids that are from different schools, and you put them together, and they introduce themselves, and they develop new relationships. Is that correct?
Exactly. And I'm in agreement with you too. And being a coach, I come from that team-oriented environment, and I've seen how, you know, kids and athletes feed off each other's energy and encourage each other, and they motivate each other, and they compete with each other. And so I like that kind of environment for kids. I think that they learn a lot from it.
Okay. I understand that you also provide on-site training for high school teams on the east side. Can you tell us about that association and why it benefits the teams and schools, DJ?
You know, what we're providing to local high schools in the area is an opportunity for our disciplines and what we do and our training methods to be implemented away from our gym and into theirs. So, of course, parents don't have to drive their kids up to our facility to participate in what we do, but rather we just take what we do to their school, in which the team is involved in our training methods and go through our complete program.
Okay, that's good. I like that. So, you know, because not all parents have the time to pick up and drop off, you know, if they're working and have other siblings and activities to monitor. And I think that what you provide is a tremendous alternative, and not only the benefit, you know, to the kids individually as a team, but to the school itself. What are some of the more obvious deficiencies you have observed today in high school athletics? I mean, meaning, you know, overall body makeup, lack of strength, poor conditioning, et cetera.
I'm going to answer that question in two parts. A, I'm going to answer it with a physiological part, and B, I'm going to answer it with a kind of a mental, emotional part, okay? A, the physiological deficiencies that I've observed are really with what's called the posterior chain, or the strength in the backside of the body, right? Because a lot of the information that is out there has kids and other people believing that they need to train the front of their body so they can look in the mirror and look good, right? But what actually controls how explosive and how fast and how high you jump and those kinds of things, what controls those abilities in athletes is the back, right? The glutes, the hamstrings, the low back, the low, the lumbar erectae, the mid back. And so those are particularly weak in high school, middle school and high school athletes. So because of that, they have a hard time getting in correct positions. So they can't squat, through a full range of motion with their heels down and their chest up. They can't, when they jump, their knees cave in. When they land, their ankles slightly roll in. Their back tends to round. So all of these stem from a lack of poor posterior chain strength. So what we do is we tend to focus on those areas, and those are pretty, that's a pretty standard. I mean, I would say 95% of the athletes, the high school, middle school, high school athletes that I've seen have a serious lack of posterior chain strength. The other side of that question, and this is the same thing I tell my middle school and high school athletes, is that the main difference that I have observed between high school and college athletes is not necessarily just the base of skill training. It's the lack of intent, the lack of desire, the lack of motivation, the lack of understanding of what it needs to what you need to do to really get there. Because you take a college athlete or you take a high school athlete, put them in a college, very structured environment where they lift every day and they work on their skills 3 hours a day on top of that. In 3 to 4 months, that athlete is going to be a whole lot better.
Yeah.
And so what I tell the middle school and high school athletes now is that, hey, look, if you know that you want to move on and play, there are some things you can be doing right now that are really going to help you in your goal, help you move towards your goals, right? And a lot of them are just choices. I can make the choice to have a great attitude. I can make the choice to play aggressively. You know what I mean? Those kinds of things I really try to instill in the athletes here, that those are things that they don't, I'm not going to look at on TV and watch Duke play and see a kid, jumping out of the gym and doing a windmill and then and say to myself, gosh, I'm never going to be able to do that. You
right.
might never be able to do that, but at the same time, you can do the things that will get that kid, just like any other kid, into school, right? You can participate in activities that will really help your development, and that's simply by choice. And I think a lot of kids don't really understand that. They don't understand the work and the work ethic that a lot of the college athletes have.
And I think, that's a really, really key point, DJ. I think what bothers me more today than anything, even at the pro level, the athletes are so gifted in the NBA, but the young ones just haven't learned, how to have that courage to compete, and
exactly.
I think what you provide in your
exactly.
program and the model that we're discussing here is that, you want to give them, the elements, and make them understand, what motivation is, self-motivation
right.
and preparation and to, if you aspire, then you must have desire, but
right.
that courage to compete, to me as a coach, as a teacher, is really, really important. But it's a fine line, because in basketball, it used to be back in the day when I had hair and you had a jump shot, it used to be where we played 3-on-3, we played pickup ball, skins and shirts, and got out there and mixed it up, and you learn from your mistakes, you got knocked down, you get up again. And so I don't see that anymore. I see the kids, doing video games. I see them competing that way. And if it doesn't go the way they want it, then they erase it and start over. Well, what do you learn from that?
Yeah.
You don't learn any physical, attributes that can be redefined, or redirected in terms of confidence and what I have to do to get better, you know, to
exactly.
to compete, you know, and be successful. And we're not, you know, the great thing here in this discussion, I haven't heard you say one thing about statistics, okay? Scoring more points, having better time swimming, you know, having, you know, the most kills, you know, as a volleyball player, you know, having the most receptions or tackles in football. You haven't talked anything about that. Everything that you're talking about is a core element, you know, to the development, that holistic development of that student athlete. And I think, you know, what is important here for our listeners to understand, especially the parents, is that you're listening to a professional here, and we're talking about not expectations that result in statistical success. We're talking about that whole person understanding and coming to an agreement with themselves that they have to work really hard to be successful. And I want you to know that we really appreciate you taking the time today out of your busy schedule, especially with your kids, and hope that your listeners and our listeners out there will link to your website and ask more questions from you and Joel and your other staff members.
DJ, how do we find out more, and what is your website?
Our website is www.endzoneathletics.com, and we have just about everything in terms of what we offer in programs and philosophy and some of the other things that we're doing, upcoming events and whatnot, right there on the website. And the other thing, too, is just give us a call. You know, we love to chat with people about, you know, what we do and how they can develop. And, you know, I'm someone, I just, you know, I like to talk about teaching and developing kids.
Well, DJ, thanks for being our guest today on Family Sports Life Today. We appreciate your professional expertise in the fastest growing off-court field training programs in America today, and sharing with us what makes your program different than others at this time. On behalf of Jay Arnold and myself, we wish you continued success with End Zone Athletics and look forward to having you as a guest again in the fall. Thanks, DJ.
Thank you, Tom, and thanks for having me. I really appreciate what you guys are doing there at Family Sports Life. It's just a great program.
Join the team at www.familysportslifetoday.com. Email us at familysportslifetoday@gmail.com or call us at 206-20-COACH.